Ridman gets the job.
Yeah.
You know, even going back to November of 2015, the Beckman report comes out. Mike Thomas is gone. Then there's the long AD search. And then this, you know, 13 months of Whitman turning everything over. New football coach, new basketball coach, now a new women's basketball coach. So,
you know, I hadn't really thought about it going back that far. But you really could probably go all the way back to the Simon Shevanovich or whatever, however you say his name.
Yep. You said it right.
That started the whole Beckman implosion.
Yep, from Mother's Day of 2015, when Simon started tweeting, to, you know, 22 months later now, like everything has changed. AD, coaches, environment,
Chancellor.
Chancellor. Right, everything is completely different at the university in 22 months. So. And that kind of starts today, right? Like, last night was the final game of, you know, it was an interim coach, but the final game of the John Gross era. You know, Lovey has started his rebuild. Underwood will now start his rebuild. So it's this long, like, you know, journey to today, which, okay, everything is new.
That's, well, I got to tell you, I do feel a heck of a lot better about our place in the college football and basketball and just college athletics as a whole probably than I did in March or April of 2015 before all this started, even before Simon Shevanovich started throwing his stuff out.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know, and both hires, both Lovey Smith and Red Underwood, were both pretty much universally praised.
Yeah.
In the media of, hey, this is a great hire for Illinois, and that, you know, there were a lot of question marks when Beckerman was hired, and there's a lot of question marks when Gross was hired. You know, is Gross just based on this one Sweet 16 run, and, you know, was Beckman just based on the fact that he almost beat Ohio State that season?
Well, you know, that's the thing with Coach Gross. He almost beat North Carolina. Come on. I was there for that.
Right.
It was so close. Yeah. Let's talk a little, you know, and also news yesterday, he hired his old coach from Washington University to coach the women. Matt Belant, when he was hired, he was thought to be a pretty high-flying coach, and, of course, they had their own problems on the women's side, too. Were you expecting him to go after his Washington coach just for off the side?
You know, kind of, you know, in the sense that, you know, she worked for him before. I think she was even like associate AD or something like that.
Yeah.
And when he was the AD, and she's kind of a legend. You know, I'm in St. Louis, so she's around here. She's kind of this coaching legend that has, you know, led him to so many national titles and everything. But I think it speaks to what kind of coach Josh Whitman wants to hire.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, coaching and teaching and training players seems to be his number one thing.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, Mizzou just hired Quanzo Martin.
Right.
They hired Quanzo Martin simply for recruiting. Like, there's no, you know, he's been to two NCAA tournaments in 9 years as a head coach.
They hired him because he's close to Otto Porter's dad or somebody like that, right?
Right, Michael Porter.
Michael
Jr.,
Porter,
yes.
Pardon me.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So because of that, you know, they just made this hire for recruiting. He will get us the top players, and maybe the basketball would be okay. You know, that there are. You know, look at the Ron Zook hire. Zook was hired simply for recruiting in Illinois. That's,
right.
You know, he had just been fired at Florida, but he had this solid recruiting background and could get the players and did get the players to Champaign. You look at Whitman's three hires. He hired an NFL coach who hadn't really recruited since 1995 when he was assistant at Ohio State. You know, so it was, let's get the teacher first. Let's get the guy who's going to train these guys in football.
Yeah,
you know, Brad Underwood was the same thing, who is the teacher kind of thing. He's never really, you know, he's never maybe had the opportunity to recruit at a big-time level, so we'll see. But he doesn't have that track record that,
right,
say maybe a Quanzo does. And then he hires, again, the same thing, a teacher for women's basketball, you know, kind of legendary coach at Division III, and, you know, now let's move her up and have her train at Division I. So it seems to be that's his theme, that he's going to go for the type of coach who's really going to teach the game to the player.
We can talk about all kinds of different things, and I plan on asking you about a few things. As I'm talking to Robert Rosenthal here. I didn't even introduce you, Robert. Sorry about that. Robert Rosenthal, he is on Twitter as a Lion Eye, and is AlionEye.com even still going anymore, or is that all shifted over to
Alion
Eye
board?
Okay. He's at AlionEyeBoard.com as well. You can check him out on those spots, and he writes thousands and thousands of words whenever he gets going. I do have to ask you before we talk any further. If Illinois had won last night, they were going to go back to Madison Square Garden that they've been there this year. That didn't go well.
Right.
And you were there.
Right. Yes. It was actually, they moved it to the Barclays Center this year because there was something at the Garden.
Oh, okay.
So it was actually in the Nets, in the Nets arena across in Brooklyn. But yes, it would be weird to play in the preseason NIT and then the postseason NIT. You know, that would be odd. But
were you gonna try to make the trip back?
I wasn't. I've seen enough of New York City for the last, you know. It was crazy because at the time nobody knew West Virginia and Florida State were that good.
Yeah, you know, the Illini were going into that game thinking that Florida State, well, they're mid-level ACC, maybe lower level, they'll be okay, they'll be a decent game, and then they whooped us, and then West Virginia just whooped the tar out of us, and thought, okay, well, they're going to be better than they were billed as well. That's interesting. Tell me one thing about Konzo Martin. We'll go back to Konzo for a second, then I'll leave him alone. We'll talk about Coach Underwood.
Sure.
Did you see – I guess you saw LaPhonso Ellis talking him up. You weren't surprised by that, were you?
No, because growing up in the St. Louis area, I remember the LaPhonso Ellis recruitment when he went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, everybody talks about the Cliff thing.
Yeah.
You know, LaPhonso did his announcement on, I think it was on Channel 5 in St. Louis, and he did kind of the same thing. I think
he did pick up the hat, didn't he pick up the Illini hat too?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it was hat or it was a t-shirt. I remember he said something like, Illinois, no, I'm going to Notre Dame, like just to kind of rub it in. And so, and he's been like, I mean, he was part of the Bruce Pearl investigation.
Right.
Like he told people, oh, Illinois tried to pay me and everything else. And, you know, the NCAA never proved it. Like they said they couldn't corroborate his story. So it wasn't part of the final report. But you know, this guy has been anti-Illinois since he was a teenager. So,
and Digger Phelps was kind of feeding LaPhonso at the same time.
Absolutely.
And,
without question.
Which leads you to Konzo. I mean, that burnt Kwanzo's chance even going, even though Konzo was a year younger than LaPhonso, he would have been a good get for Lou Henson, but he never even considered Illinois and just went to Purdue, was a good player, but would have been a good Illini, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think so. And I think had the probation not happened, he would have picked Illinois.
Yeah.
Konzo would have. That, you know, that was the time when everything was rolling right up until that moment.
Right.
Which, of course, is the time I was getting ready to go to Champaign. So, you know, I'm in high school and watching Final Four and top four seed every year. And then I get there and Illinois is on probation, can't even go to the tournament because of the violation. So,
yeah, and I just left Illinois at that time.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well.
So I think Konzo will be good at Missouri, like recruiting-wise. He's yet to prove it on the basketball court, but, you know, sometimes you can get those, you know, get five top 100 players and send them out there and they'll win 25 games.
Last question about that. Is the ticket going to be a lot easier this December? Or, I mean, a lot tougher this December? I'm guessing it is for the bragging rights.
I mean, I was there last year. Maybe 2,000 Missouri fans, like maybe 2,000. They were down to, you know, just a few.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be good to get that rivalry back up.
Yeah, that's always a lot of fun. Okay, Brad Underwood, it's a different style of play for the Illini. I guess before we get into style of play, do you think we'll get you on the record here? What do you think's going to happen with Coach Jamal Walker? He did, as good a job as you could with that team for the only three games he had them. Do you think he gets retained? And if so, will that hold the class together?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Like, I really don't know. I don't have a feel for it. Like, I probably lean toward the fact that he wouldn't come back just because, you know, we go through this every time there's a new coach, and then one assistant stays over, and then it's like, is that assistant going to be, you know, left, and, you know, is that assistant going to be retained? We did it when, you know, when Zook was fired, and we made the defensive line, you know, Koning was the guy, and then were we going to keep any of the recruiting assistants to try and hang on to some of Zook's recruits? And they hung on to the defensive line coach for 1 year. And, you know, there's always these kind of things of, like, who's tied to who and everything else. My sense, since Underwood is such a believes in his system and wants guys who know his system and can teach his system, my sense is that he would move on and find three guys of his own, even if that costs him Jeremiah Tillman. Because, again, I'm looking at this totally differently now, that do we even know if Tillman is a fit for this offense?
Yeah.
Like, if you watch what Oklahoma State did and what Stephen F. Austin did, they would have a shooting kind of, you know, they would have basically one forward on the floor, and he wasn't really doing a post back to the basket, post moves kind of game. So it's possibly, it's kind of crazy. You know, you're talking about this athletic five-star guy, but it's possible he might say, maybe he's not the best fit. Maybe we're going to go after this guy or that guy, or, you know, maybe I want this type of player. So I kind of have this sense that maybe he'll talk to Coach Walker, and maybe he will keep him, but maybe he just moves on and says, I'm gonna start fresh. I'm going to start with a brand new thing.
I think I was really intrigued that Trent Frazier, the recruit from Florida, said that he was coming immediately. Boom. I guess he had seen what Coach Underwood had done with, like, Juwan Evans, yep, and all the other guys the new system is going to work well for a lot of the players that are in there. But a guy like Mike Thorne, who didn't end up working out well this year anyway because of injuries,
right,
and age, but a guy like Mike Thorne, his style, like you say, was not fit for Brad Underwood's system.
Right. And so that's going to be the thing is, now that there's this very specific system, who does he recruit to that system? Will it be more like a Bo Ryan at Wisconsin, who,
yeah,
really didn't – he didn't really chase – well, he chased and he offered. And obviously everybody wants the top talent and the McDonald's All-Americans and that. But Bo Ryan always found those guys that specifically fit his system. And,
right,
you know, shorter guys who can post up. And so he'd run his little swing offense and get these post looks for his guards and all this stuff. You know, so he was looking for something very, very, very specific. Maybe not just the general, let's get talented guys, like what Missouri's going to do.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Coach Underwood kind of made that clear, I thought, at his first press conference there at his introduction, that, yeah, he's looking for his guys. And whenever I saw that press conference on Monday, I was thinking, hey, Jamal may not be here, and Tillman may not be his guy.
Right. Now, I saw some report on Twitter last night that he's meeting with Tillman today. And it's, you know, again, Tillman's this crazy athletic 6'11 guy,
right,
who can do a lot. I don't know how if his shot is going to stretch out to the 3-point line, or if he can, you know, if he can be that kind of big. But he's still this, you know, NBA body.
Right.
And any coach can use an NBA body. So, okay, I'm sure, you know, he's probably going to pursue him, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just looking to the future of, you know, what are we going to recruit and how is he going to go about this? And I feel like it might be a little different in that he's going to see that guy, you know, maybe who isn't ranked in the top 100, but he's a really good passer for a big man.
You're right.
And he wants that kind of guy in his offense to be in the high post or be at the free throw line and run the offense from that pass and have vision and court vision and everything else. So, you know, that's my sense. Is he's going to be looking for these kind of specific skills from guys more so than who are the top 50 players in the country and how many of them can we get.
Do you get to get you've got good seats at the games. You sit down there in the press area. And do you get the sense that the Assembly Hall is – was it pretty much dead all last year? I went to one game. I went to the Minnesota game. And Illinois was good for about 10 minutes in that game, and the place was rocking. But the rest of the time, it was just kind of rough. And I'm assuming the style of play, speed, and the defense is really going to pick up that the game experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's an exciting brand of basketball. It's probably going to be more points. Crowds already love that. And it's been 10 years of this anticipation of this anxiety of get us back to being Illinois basketball.
Right.
So the crowds are ready. I mean, I said the same thing about football. You know, this fan base is larger than almost anyone realizes, you know, has the potential to sell out every game, like, immediately if the team is good. You know, it's this massive state, massive population, and a lot of fans that have just been waiting for something. So, you know, for football with the North Carolina game, you hire Lovie Smith, and you have that first night game, and it's sold out, just
right.
like that.
Right.
You know, Northwestern can't do that. Like, Northwestern's not going to, you know, gather more than 30,000 fans. Like,
no.
They just don't have that kind of fan base. You show Illinois fans a good product, and they'll fill the stadium. So I felt the same way about the Michigan State game when Illinois made a late-season run this year and actually kind of had a chance to, you know, who knows, maybe makes a tournament after that win. So it sold out, and it was loud, and it felt like the assembly hall of 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So to get the State Farm Center back to that, I don't think it takes much more than wins, and the crowds will be there immediately.
Real quickly, with this offensive style, Derek Dunn, who works there, asked me to ask you, and with the offensive style of play that Brad Underwood brings, who do you see flourishing currently in the system? And maybe
well,
quick one.
I have a guy who writes for the website who just kind of broke that down, and he did a really good job of it in that article of like looking at the roster and saying who fits. And he thought, guys like Trent Frazier, who's coming in, you know, you need that scoring point guard, that guy who's going to take the ball off the screen and make things happen. He also thought Finke, that he likes to run one post guy, keep him up at the free throw line, and then run the offense through him. And Finke, maybe his best skill is his passing. Like,
yeah.
He has some vision and understanding of the game, and you know, and so a guy like that who can make the right pass out of that high post spot and start everything rolling for the offense could be really good. So he's probably the guy who maybe takes the biggest leap with this offense.
Well, that's great. Who do you see defensively being the biggest stalwart? Because this is gonna be a full court pressure offense, I'm guessing 75-80% of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll do that. I think the biggest thing is he says he likes to go after offensive rebounds. He likes to crash the boards, which we haven't seen recently because
everybody's running down court.
Right. The trick is when you crash the boards, you leave a lot of 3-on-2s going the other way.
Right.
You know, some coaches want, as soon as the shot goes up, you know, the two bigs can rebound, but everybody else get back because we're not going to get beat on the break. Well, I think Underwood's going to crash the boards, which is going to open up that thing. So I think the biggest defensive key is, how do these guards handle those, you know, odd man breaks going the other way? Because you're going to get your offensive rebounds. You're going to get some putbacks. You know, that's the plus side of it. But if you don't grab the rebound and four guys ran to the hoop, you're going to have an odd man rush going the other way. So that'll be the most interesting thing to see on defense.
I got to tell you, Robert, I'm here with Robert Rosenthal. He's a Lion Eye, at a Lion Eye on Twitter. And also at the IlliniBoard.com. Robert, I'll let you go in a second. But I got to tell you, I heard Coach Underwood say he wished the season started, like, today. I'm the same way. I just can't wait to see what he does with this team.
Yep, I'm ready to see it. It's interesting because there's no seniors next year.
Yeah.
So the team he has next fall is the identical team he's going to have the fall after that. So, you know, and I've said the same thing about the next football season, which – they only start three seniors on the entire team. So for next school year, the teams you see are the preliminary results for what's going to happen the following season when you get everybody back and you do the same thing and hopefully take a step forward. So I've already called next year kind of like a dress rehearsal. I mean, I think they have talent. They hang on to some of these recruits. I think Underwood could get them to the tournament.
That's great.
But even if he doesn't, he gets everybody back. Everybody then knows the system, and year two should be pretty exciting.
Quick question. Last question. We didn't even talk football at all. Who's going to start at quarterback?
I think it's Chase Crouch. I think he does what they do. He can run. He can run that spread option game. We saw in the Purdue game before Crouch got injured last year, after Lunt went out, that's the offense that Garrick McGee wants to run.
Yeah.
That kind of quarterback. And so I think you're going to see Crouch run it.
Robert, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
You got it. Thanks, Bruce.
Uh-huh. We'll talk to you soon. That's Robert Rosenthal from IlliniBoard.com. And you can check him out there or check him out on Twitter at AlliniEye.com. Alliini. That's the. We'll be back with more Bruce Dickey Show for you after this.